explain or whatever these little yellow things. This is supposed to remind us of our social distancing thing. And so we had said something about that, I don't know when, but about skipping every other row or something like that. So that's what that's supposed to be. It's not a prize or anything like that. You know, that's what it's supposed to be. Yeah, I was looking for some of that tape that, you know, they put on crime scenes or something. You got some crime scene tape? Okay. Emergency, something or another? Or? Fire, okay, all right, okay. Painter's tape, yeah. So what is this business, Pastor? I thought you were going to sing this morning.
Yeah, my neck voice and condition is bad, but I tried.
You did? Uh-huh. So you're trying to crawfish out of it? You know what that means? Oh, well. Pastor Kim sang on Candlelight, O Holy Night, did a very good job. He said he didn't think his voice was a little weak or something like that. But he said, I'm going to make up for it this Sunday and sing it again. But now he's crawfishing out of that. He's saying his voice is not better or something. So let's hold him to it, though. As soon as his voice gets better, he needs to sing something again, right? Okay, all right. Well, look on the bulletin thing there. Lots of folks on the back there. And the first one, of course, is Otis. And I do not really have any report on Otis. Oh, Lisa? Oh, never mind. Verlish was going to, the last word I got from Verlish, that's his wife, was that Otis was not doing as well as he had been, kind of deteriorating a little bit. And so the doctor, and you medical folks know, the doctor called her. That's not good. So anyway, he's not doing very well. He said he was going to try one more thing. And then if that doesn't work or that doesn't help him, then they're going to have to talk. And I thought, well, that's not good either. So, but I haven't gotten any word on his condition. I will call Verlish tomorrow and try to see what's happening. Maybe the treatment did something that's helpful to him. I surely hope so. I'm kind of selfish sometimes, you know. Lord, we'd rather have him here than there, although it would be glory, I'm sure. Okay, any other announcements real quick? Dana. Oh. Yes, CD. CD of You Raise Me Up. In Christ Alone, or You Raise Me Up. Anybody got one of those? Talk to Dana about it because she wants to borrow it because she wants to sing with it or something like that. So if you have one of those, tell her about that. Any other things? Okay. Good to see you this morning. And, don't worry about the van that's the RV that's parked out in the parking lot. It's okay. Isn't that terrible? Terrible. Somebody parks an RV downtown Nashville, blows up the city, you know. We're living in a very crazy, crazy world. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we thank you for who you are, what you're about. We do ask you to continue to be with those that are suffering and in pain. Lord, we know that Otis is not doing well. And, of course, this cloud hangs over his family. And I ask you to be with Verlish and the children and grandchildren. And be with the doctors, Lord, and do all that you can do to raise him up to us. And, Father, we ask you to be with those that are in Nashville trying to sort out this violent attack, whatever kind of it was. So we just ask you to continue to be with that. The vaccines are rolling out. Jim said he got one the other day, and so we thank you for that. Pray, Father God, that they'll do all they're supposed to do. Be with us now as we're here, as we meet you in this place, and we invite you in our presence. And we pray, Father God, that you'll speak to our hearts this morning. If we need encouragement, Lord, encourage us. And surely we do. If we need to be challenged, Lord, challenge us this day. Whatever we need, Lord, you speak to our hearts today. For these things I ask in the precious, holy name of Jesus. Amen.
Five years ago, we surveyed an unreached island in the southern Philippines. This island has a population of 22,000 people living in 14 villages. God's people began to pray, asking the Lord of the harvest to send more workers. A partnership was formed with a church in Tennessee, and short-term evangelism teams began to go to the island. The first team met and shared the gospel with an old man. The next team continued that relationship, sharing more of God's word. Finally, when a third team visited him, they shared the story of Nicodemus, and this 82-year-old man was born again. When I visited him this year, he had me sign his guest book, and he showed me all the names of the team members who had come before us. But he was most excited to show me where he had written the date of his spiritual birthday.
We are Jess and Wendy Jennings, and we have served for almost 30 years in Southeast Asia with the International Mission Board. We currently lead the IMB work in the Philippines and the South Pacific Islands. We also direct Nehemiah Teams, which mobilizes, trains, and sends students on short-term mission teams around the world. We want to thank you for praying for us and for supporting us through the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. Because you gave, four new families, fully funded, will be joining the work here in the Philippines over the next few months.
This year is the 175th anniversary of Southern Baptist working together to send missionaries around the world. We ask you to give again this year and to give sacrificially so that others may go and so that many more might hear and believe.
Invited to stand this morning.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare his room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs implore. Our fields and flocks, rocks, hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy. Repeat, repeat the sounding joy. No more of sins and sorrows flow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations grow. The glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love. Thank you.
Jesus, Lord, in thy word.
If you have your Bible, turn to Ezekiel this morning, chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 1 through 5. Ezekiel chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Ian, did you get the shot the other day?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay. It's coming though, huh? All right. Did it keep you people on your feet? This is Ezekiel's commission from God Almighty. And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. Notice that God is calling Ezekiel Son of Man. What was the favorite title that Jesus used for himself? Son of Man. And the Spirit entered in to me when he spake unto me and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. They are impotent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for their rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. Lord, we do ask you to continue to be with those that need a special touch today. We thank you for the doctors, the nurses who've been working very hard and tirelessly during this pandemic. And Lord, we know that many, many people have been touched by this horrible disease, and many have suffered, but we thank you for, Lord, those who have recovered, and we pray, Father, you would continue to watch over them. Lord, we live in a very desperate time, and we ask you would continue to be with us as your people, even as we saw the little clip about foreign missions or international missions this morning. The need is great, not only in the Philippines and those islands there, but right here in our own nation as well. Be with us this morning. Thank you for those that are here. Bless them. Be with those this morning, Father, who are shut in. They're not literally shut in. They're shut in because they fear. And I pray, Father, you would help that you would speak to them as well. Give them a special blessing, even if they listen to this via the internet. Now we ask that you would honor your word today. Be with us this morning. For these things I ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Perhaps you've read or heard, and I'm sure you have, over in Psalms 19, 103 verse through 105, the psalmist says, How sweet are the words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Though thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And I'm sure you've heard that. Matter of fact, I know that the Bible drillers had, that was one of the very first ones that they learned. Very great passage, a very encouraging one. Well, of course, just the other day, as you turned on your televisions, I suppose you saw the Christmas Day bombing in Nashville, and were just like me, what on earth, you know, what's going on there? And of course, I don't know that we know anything that any more than we did the other day, but we do ask you to continue to be with those who are investigating that incident. And then, of course, we've had a whole year of pandemic. Some of it has been good information, some of it's been misinformation, some of it has been an opportunity for name-calling, some of it has been an opportunity for politicking. Never let a good crisis go to waste. And there are those that have nothing to do with any of those kinds, and they're the ones that are suffering. They've got the disease, the virus itself. It's a tremendous, takes its toll on the body. And, of course, those who are more receptive in the sense of preconditions and those kind of things have really had a fit. So, Lord, it's been a year. I want to take a survey this morning. Are you tired of it? Yeah, me too. Me too. Well, in Ezekiel, he's commissioned to stand on his feet And then down there in verse 2, it says, the Spirit shall enter you when you stand on your feet. We need to stand on our feet. If you read the first chapter of Ezekiel, you'd find out that this is Ezekiel's vision, and he has this whirlwind, this fire, four living creatures, a wheel within a wheel, colors and chaos. It's just fantastic. I think there was a very marvelous theological book some years ago that said it was called Chariots of Fire or something like that. And, of course, what that particular author was saying was that Ezekiel had experienced alien extraterrestrials. It's amazing how people think that's cool. That's really cool. I love that kind of thing. But I think Ezekiel had a vision of God, and God was speaking to him in a very dramatic way, and Ezekiel then goes on and speaks in a very dramatic way. But in chapter 2, God calls Ezekiel, commissions him. And, you know, we hear the voice of God calling Ezekiel to speak to an obstinate, stubborn people, not willing to hear. I decline. Let's do something else. But, you know, 150 years before Ezekiel was to give his deliverance message and hope, Isaiah had said the same thing to the same kind of people. Even before that was Elijah, that great prophet. You know, in Israel, Elijah and Moses were considered to be the two great prophets. Moses gave the law. And of course, when Elijah prayed, no rain, it didn't rain. And when he prayed rain, it rained. Then Elijah came along with his message, and they were deaf ears to that. And before, of course, Elijah was Moses. All these godly men, all these commissions and prophets faced the task of speaking the word of God, the good news of God's love, his forgiveness, his mercy, his grace to a people unwilling to listen and unwilling to obey. But you think to yourself, well, that's just mankind. Right from the beginning, Adam and Eve back there would not listen to God. God told them not to do something. He said, of every tree of the garden, thou mayest eat freely thereof. That's pretty good. Everything except one. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. Don't do that. Everything's open. Everything's good. All with that one. Don't do that. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And they ate anyway. Disobedient. So we're a disobedient people. God speaks to us very plainly, gives us abundance of resources, yet they do not cover everything that we want. Since that day in mankind, back there in the garden, we've been at rebellion with God. We've also been at rebellion with each other. Where's the first murder in the Bible? Back there, Cain and Abel killed his brother. So it shouldn't really surprise us that that virus of sin has permeated every heart all over the world, and we're still doing all those kind of things all the time. You see, we want what we want, and we want it now, no matter what God says. We set ourselves up to be God. You know, I was thinking about the Supreme Court here not too long ago, because we had the new judge that got appointed to the Supreme Court, and we were told that this was going to be a marvelous thing to get another conservative judge on the Supreme Court and all those kind of things, and maybe it will be a good thing, I don't know. But I thought about that in the sense that the highest court of the land, the Supreme Court, you know, they have overstepped their authority, and they've stepped outside of that authority, and they've contradicted God's word many times. I'll just give you a couple of them. When they legalized homosexual marriage throughout the 50 states, they just overstepped what God said. Roe v. Wade, 1973. How many millions of children have been murdered. And the Supreme Court said it was okay. Then there's the one that probably you don't know, but I think of it many times because of the racial unrest in our country, Dred Scott. That was 1857. And Dred Scott was a slave. That was his name. His name was Scott. His name was Dred. And he escaped from slavery. And he went to a state that was a free state. So he'd made it out of slavery to this free state, was there in the free state. And they arrested him. And it came to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court said that he was not entitled to his freedom. That whoever had him had to send him home. Because he was considered property. Somebody had stolen their property. And so the Supreme Court made it very abundantly clear. And listen, God does not work through elections of presidents or congresses or Supreme Courts to do his will. Did you know that? Yes, he moves them around like pawns, but God uses us, his people, to do his will. And so the Supreme Court said that blacks could never be citizens of the United States. Did you know that was, you know that was there? They said that. Matter of fact, in doing that, they declared the Missouri Compromise unconstitutional. 1857. Let's see. What major event took place after that? The Civil War. They didn't help a bit, did they? Matter of fact, they plunged us into one of the most terrible wars this nation has ever been at. Well, we have that problem. The Apostle Paul tells us that civil authorities are appointed by God. And we are to obey those authorities when they lawfully exercise their authority. And to disobey is to disobey the Lord God himself. Romans, write this down, Romans 13:1. You'll have to go back and read it. I'm not going to do all these verses. But you say to yourself, boy, I don't like that. How could Paul say that? These authorities, Paul then goes on to say in Ephesians, are not independent. They are under the accountability to God Almighty himself. You know, it's kind of a fearful thing. Standing in this pulpit, having believed that God called me to preach. Don't know why I would do such a thing as that. It must have been a small mistake you made that day. But you know, the scripture says that I am accountable to God himself when I stand here. And what I say from here is very important to be in line with the principles and precepts of God. And if not, can you imagine coming into glory, walking down whatever it is, that crystal sea, coming to the throne of God, and having God Almighty say to you, ha! And recount all the things if you've done. That's not going to be good either. And then ask you to give an account for yourself on those things. But the scripture also says, I can say, wait. Heavenly Father, I've got an advocate. Jesus, come defend me. And the most marvelous, wonderful thing, he does come and defend this before God. These authorities, the governor of California, they might recall him. I don't know. Maybe they should. It seems like they should. But guess what? The state of California, the people of California, are nothing compared to what he's going to have to give an account for. Yes. Mr. Cuomo there in New York, it's nothing to what he's going to have to get an account for. Mr. Trump, President Trump, nothing what he's going to have to give an account for. Mr. Biden, 57 years, oh my goodness, I don't know how that man's going to. Anyway. But however civil authorities are forbidden what God has ordained and commanded to do, the civil disobedience on our part is not only lawful when those things take place, but they're required of us. Did you know that? We're supposed to say, no, I'm sorry, not going to do that. Wow. And you know, when Paul was saying some of these things, what was the government that he was under? He was under maybe two governments. You count the government of Israel. But what was the overarching government? The Roman Empire, the Roman governments. Those people were pagans. Paul said, pray for them. Pray for all men, kings and authority and all those kind of things. And obey them inasmuch as they don't contradict what God has said. So it's required of us to say, well, sorry, I can't do that. And another point to remember in this business of civil disobedience is Christian liberty. So there's that end. Then there's another end. Over in 1 Corinthians, Paul says in chapter 6, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. I could do them, but I may not find that helpful in propagating the gospel. Over in 1 Corinthians 8, he says, but take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours, ours, becomes a stumbling block to them that are weak. So we have civil disobedience that God says we need to practice that, and if necessary, stand against the very government that imposing those restrictions. Then there is the obedience of liberty that we have in Christ, and we do not want to overstep that boundary either, because it might cause our brother and sister to stumble. Paul cites an example over in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 13. I remember this. It was so funny. I was doing a Bible study over at Georgetown Place, and we were doing this. And he says, therefore, if meat make my brother to offend, to stumble, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. And we did those passages, and we had a little lady come up to me afterwards, and she said, you know, Pastor, I'm not sure I understood everything you said this morning. And I thought, She says, I'm not going to eat this, this, and this. Okay. And I couldn't figure out, you know, what theological framework she was coming from. But she hadn't understood a word I said. She was just centered in on those things that I don't have to do that. That's not applicable to me. Yes, it is. If meat causes me to make you stumble, then I shall eat no meat. Oh, man, I like roast beef. I like whatever. Of course, Paul's talking some there in the meat offered to idols, but nevertheless, the principle is the same. You see, it's a very fine line that we walk as the people of God. Because, you see, we're in the obedience unto God business, if you want to put it that way. And we're also in the reconciliation business of those who are lost without Christ. The obedience to God business, in which God commissions us and uses us through, we've got to watch out that we don't become a stumbling block to the very people we're trying to reach. Or, to our brothers and sisters in Christ that might be offended by what we're saying or doing. It's hard, isn't it? I think sometimes things are just silly, don't you? I remember reading about, and we had a small little conference verse about that years and years ago here at church, about colors of trash cans. No, I'm not kidding you. We had a couple old trash cans, and they were kind of getting bummed up or something like that. Ron Rossolo had these 55-gallon barrels. They were plastic barrels. I think he got them from work or something like that. They actually made really good trash cans. And he wanted to bring them and replace the blue one and the green one or whatever it was. I can't even remember the colors anymore with those two cans. Somebody raised their hand. Where'd you get those cans? Those are not really trash cans, you know. What kind of chemicals do they have in it? All kinds of questions. And we're in a business meeting. And I'm thinking to myself, oh gosh, no wonder people don't come to these things. Unbelievable. Droned on and on and on. On and on and on. Listen, friends, it doesn't matter what color trash can you put your trash in. Could be pink and purple and kind of like my little thing here. It doesn't matter. Put them in some kind of a container to get the trash out to the street to have the guy come by, pick them up, and take them off. Especially if you've got a bunch of dead fish in it. Remember I told you that. Jeff sent me some fish. I cleaned the fish and had this big pile of guts. Oh, my goodness. All kinds of intros and stuff like that. I put them in the can outside, and the can got knocked over. And it ran down the street in front of our lovely neighbor's house next door, who has a very fine line about what she thinks is good and bad. And even I thought, wow, you got to be kidding me. That's horrible stink. Horrible. And I thought to myself, maybe I can get Caleb to go clean that up. No, I had to clean it up, didn't I? I had to clean it up. It would have rained eventually. It was in the street. It was in the drain. It was only about a half a block down the street, and you had one of those big floor things, you know? But no. I think I did right by trying to clean it up, don't you? Listen, it doesn't matter what color the trash can's in. It only matters in the sense of your witness unto the Lord to people over there, and we do not just overtly try to offend them. I can just, that little lady's still alive. She probably would have had a heart attack that day if she'd walked outside her house. I don't know what the temperature was. It was nice. It was, that fish was ripe. When I walked outside, I knew something was wrong. When she walked out in front of her house, oh my goodness, she'd probably call the police. Need to clean it up, didn't I? Now I could have blamed that on Jeff Muncy. He's the one that gave me the fish, right? He's the one that doesn't like to clean the fish, and I clean the fish, and I put them in a bag, plastic bag, put them in that can, got them out to the street because I knew the trash man was coming. Let the trash man do something with that stuff, you know? It's a fine line, isn't it? It's a fine line. We are in the obedience people. We're in the reconciliation ministry, and we're working with people. I kind of think sometimes, if I was the Lord, I'd surely do things differently. And aren't you glad that I'm not? Someone has said, I think it was Rod, that getting old is not for sissies. Listen, being God's people in a sinful world is never easy. There's always going to be those things. We're called to proclaim the truth of God in a world that's deaf. God told Ezekiel, "Son of man, stand up on your feet." You know what? I think that's come to attention. Stand up. I don't know about, you know, maybe it was just my dad's military thing or something like that. I don't know. But when I was in trouble, guess what I was going to have to do? Stand up in front of him and give an account. I couldn't be laying on the couch. I couldn't be wallowing around on the floor. Mike, come over here. Stand right here and tell me about it, whatever. God is telling Ezekiel, listen, you got to stand on your feet. You've got to hear what I say, and you have to be standing because, you listen, this job I'm going to give you is so difficult, and is these people are obstinate. They're hard of hearing. They do not want to hear. And so you're going to have to be standing. You're going to have to be brave to do the things I've called you to do. Remember back in Joshua, I think we had this sermon a couple weeks ago, Dennis, that I preached from Joshua. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua, God tells Joshua in chapter 1, verse 6, be strong and of what? Good courage. Now, if the Bible says something once, that's important, don't you think? That's what I've been told. This is one chapter. In verse 6, be strong and of good courage. In verse 7, it says, only be strong and very courageous. And in verse 9 and verse 18, God says it again. Joshua, only be strong and good courage. Christian men, woman, here today, we've got to be strong and of good courage to be the witness that we are for God in this underworld world. They're not going to receive us and throw a parade for us. They're going to fight us tooth and nail. And so we have got to be strong. But we also have to present that truth of God in love. And boy, that's hard, isn't it? Over in Revelation 21, the Bible says, but the coward, the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, sexual immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone forever and ever. Cowards are there. Contrast this with what the Apostle Paul declared over in Romans chapter 1. Paul says what? For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also, I'm sure that there would have been some that would have been going, yeah, 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 but then he said, and to the Greek. What? I'm Abraham's seed. We got the promise. God's going to make us a great nation. Going to make us like the sands of the sea and the skies of the stars of the heavens. Paul says, to the Jew first, but also to the Greek. That takes boldness. That takes courage. That takes strength. Because in some places and in some times, what color you are is going to make a difference. How you comb your hair is going to make a difference. Or in my case, how the lack of hair you have is going to make a difference. All those kind of things. The world is full of contradictions. The world is full of ritual, of ceremony, of half-truths. All the time. It's just overflowing. Over in 1 Timothy, Paul says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Wow, even those that name the name of Jesus and even those who have that pretext of who they are in Christ Jesus, even that, sometimes they're not who they say they are. And if we don't speak, who will? But we've got to speak with love. If we're speaking with a vengeful motive, with a motive of getting back at somebody, God's not going to honor that. But our speech must always be tempered with love. You know, I got saved in Korea. At Osan, a couple of guys witnessed to me, led me to the Lord. It was a fantastic place. Korea was in revival. I think it still is. And so God poured out his spirit upon the Korean people, and because I was there, on me too. We went from four people in a Bible study at Chapel 2. We actually had four chapels on days. Isn't that amazing? Two Air Force, one Navy and Marines, and one Army. Actually, there was a lot of places to meet. There just wasn't nobody going. And I had nothing to do with this. I'm just telling you the statistics. When I left to come back to the States, and I wanted to come back. I wanted to come back. Don't get me wrong. There's like a greenhouse there. God pouring out his spirit. But I wanted to come home. I wanted to come home. When I left, there was about 86 people meeting at Chapel 2, 8 o'clock in the morning, to study the Bible. Who did that? Not me. Not George Abernathy, who was a brilliant teacher. God did that. God did that. But have you ever kind of gone out on the limb in the wrong way because of your zeal for the Lord, or that's what you counted it up for? Well, I was working down at base ops. I was assigned down at base ops and picking up fight clues and all that kind of stuff. And so we had captured people. They had to be there, and I had to be there, and they had to listen to what I had to say, and I had to listen to what they had to say. And this one kid's name was Craig, and I found him somewhat receptive, and so I had talked to him, and we talked about Jesus many times and those kind of things. And I don't know what possessed me. I don't know. They had a mail room, probably bigger than this room here, and you had all these boxes, and you get mail. And I'll tell you one thing GIs didn't miss was going and getting their mail. So I went to the mail room to get my mail, and I saw Craig there. And the place was packed. There's people all over the place. I went up to him, and I saw him, and I said, Craig, you know what? Unless you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you're going to hell. You could have heard a pin drop in there. Who is that guy? What's wrong with him? Craig negotiated his way out of there. Didn't see him the next day, but I saw him the next. And when it was a quiet time, I was sitting down. He came over to me and he looked at me and he said, Mike, he said, I would have never thought that you would embarrass me like that in front of so many people. What I said was true, but I did not say it with love. I was trying to rush him, wasn't I? Trying to push him. You can't do that. You can't do that. Well, our relationship got a little bit better. I wish I could tell you that I led him to the Lord before I left Korea, but that did not happen. You see, sin is at the heart of all ungodliness. God didn't send me to the mailroom to stand before hundreds of people and say, you're going to hell without Jesus. He didn't send me there to do that. That was my mission, and it accomplished nothing. What used to be, of course, called sin in our world is called sin no more. And there's this drug that we have. It's an intoxicating thing called acceptance. We want to be accepted. We want to be accepted. But sinful behavior that is excused and it's just repackaged into a personal choice, it's still sin, isn't it? The ramification. The wages of sin is what? Death. That's what's coming. But it's hard to go against the flow. It really is. It really is. That's why God told Ezekiel, stand up. You're going to have to be brave and of good courage. Paul states over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 4 through 5, so that we ourselves glory or boast among you, the churches of God, for your patience and your faith and all your persecutions and tribulation that you endured. And so Paul said, boy, I'm just so proud of you folks because you're enduring persecution. You're patient, you're faithful, and you're enduring. Wow. That's a great compliment. And he says, which is manifest, a token or evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God. So Paul is saying, you know, what you're doing, it just shows me that God really does have his hand on you and God's doing a great work in you. Fantastic. He was trying to encourage them. Of course, you know, over in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul exhorts us to put on the whole armor of God, don't we? Doesn't he? Put on the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, feet shod with the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. He tells us all those kind of things. But in Ephesians chapter 6:19, he says, and for me, that utterance might be given unto me, that I might open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel. Paul says, if I, there's one thing I want to do, Lord, that's it. Son of man, stand upon your feet. We got to stand, folks. We have to stand. It's difficult. There's a fine line of, boy, I don't know, we'd go over here, we'd go over there. It's a tough thing. I wish I had some real wisdom. It's a tough thing. But God can do great things. And God can do great things in spite of you. We went up to the Korean Air Force Academy in Seoul, ROKAF Academy in Seoul, and there was a major up there. He was a chaplain, and he came to Osan several times, and he did Bible studies with us, and he encouraged us. He was actually one of the mentors that I had, and he was a great guy. He was a no-nonsense kind of a guy. Of course, majors are, I guess, you know. But anyway, he asked us at our prayer meeting on Saturday nights. We had a prayer meeting started at 9 o'clock and would go maybe 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. Who knows? We didn't have no place to go. In no hurry. Just keep praying. You know, it was so fun, so great. So he came to that and he encouraged us. He says, "Guess what? We're going to be able." He said, "I petition, and we're going to be able to have a revival at the chapel at the Air Force Academy in Seoul. And I want you guys to come." Oh, okay. Sounds good. Yeah. He says, we're going to do some canvassing of the area. They're going to let me open the back gate there, and the people from the village can come in and listen. And he said, it's going to be a great time. It's going to be a wonderful time. Then he said, and he did not ask. He just said, you know, Al, give your testimony, please. Taylor, give your testimony, please. Then he said, Mike, you preach. What? I might could have given my testimony, but preach? He acted like he didn't see my hand. What? No, maybe Dennis. Maybe Elizabeth, not me. You got the wrong guy. You thought my name was Mike, but it was really you're looking for Ian or something. I don't know, but you know, the wrong guy. He wouldn't. He just went on. So after the meeting, of course, everybody's pretty tired by about 4 o'clock in the morning. I kind of got to the side, and I said, you know, Major, I said, you asked me to preach the first night of revival. He said, yes, that's what I want you to do. I said, I've just been saved for a few months. I don't know anything about preaching. He said, well, learn. What? So I said, well, you know, Ron Renner, you know, the guy that led me to the Lord, lives down in Indianapolis. Let Ron do it. Ron can really talk, you know. Let him. Mike Jester, you know, Mike, he's good at this stuff. No, he said, I want you. He said, we'll get somebody for the second night. Don't worry about it. I'll contact them. So I'm just, 2 weeks. So I asked some of our guys that were older than me, mentors and things like that. What do you do about stuff like that? He said, well, you better pray about it a little bit. Okay, that sounds good. And then pick out something that the Lord lays on your heart and preach on it and don't be fearful. Oh, wow. Wow. Well, I'll tell you what. I didn't have to worry about having constipation or anything because I was so nervous that, you know, yeah. And so we went there. First guy gives his testimony, great testimony. And he had a second lieutenant who was translating. You know, I don't speak much Korean. And so they translated for him. And then it was my turn. We sang some songs, stuff like that. It was my turn to get up. And I stood here at the podium. There was the Korean Air Force Academy, full to the brim. Windows were open. Townspeople were standing out there. I don't know how many hundred people could have been there, but there were hundreds. And I was just like this, petrified. But one of my mentors said, well, write it down. He said, sometimes if you write it down, it'll come out clearly. And if you get stuck, you can see what you wrote. Well, okay. Been doing it ever since. So I wrote it down. And I preached my first sermon at the Air Force Academy in Seoul, Korea. What a privilege that was. We had 54 decisions for Christ that night. 54. So I don't know what that lieutenant was preaching, but it was good. Because what I brought, I don't know, you know, but it was good. Listen, it's God always working through us. Imperfect vessels, fearful vessels, vessels that sometimes get our mouth and our self way out in front of what God wants us to be. But we've been commissioned. Stand up. Be of good courage. Be brave. I'm going to use you, and I'll use you the way I want to use you, and you'll be okay because I'll watch over you, and I'll deliver you from one section to the next. I don't know who bombed those people down in Nashville. I don't know. Well, I suppose we might find out in not too distant future. I don't know who came up with the COVID-19 from Hunan and brought it here to America and all those kind of things through the world. I don't know any of those kind of things. But I do know this. This is my Father's world. And He's in charge. None of that took any minute. I was surprised on Christmas morning when I saw that. I thought, whoa. We called our son and one conversation there. I said, Todd, did you know that they bombed in Nashville? They hadn't turned the television on. They hadn't gotten the news. God knows. And when we are willing to, as best we understand, absorb the principles, it's not going to be easy. Some of those are fine line principles. Oh my, just got to walk that line so fine. Because there's commission to be disobedient to the authorities if they're disobedient to God. But we're also not to offend our weaker brother. Fine line, isn't it? Fine line. But when we walk with the Lord, great things can happen. Great things can happen. We prayed for a chaplain to come at Osan. We had a couple of Catholic chaplains. We had one Episcopalian. And so somebody thought, we need to have more conservative evangelical pastor than these guys. So we prayed for him. And we got him. And I thought, fantastic. Chaplain Harnett, he was a great guy. But, you know, one night when we were having the Sunday evening service, he expressed to us, he said, you know, I was in North Carolina. I was at such and such Air Force Base in North Carolina. My family was there. We weren't too far from home. He said, I was, you know, happy as a duck in water. See, then I got these orders to come to Korea. He did not say it, but I think he was thinking it. Did you guys do this to me? Yeah, kind of, but not really. Oh, we prayed for that, but God picked his man and brought him there. It's always a fine line, isn't it? Let's walk it. Stand and walk it for the Lord. Father, thank you for all that you do. Sometimes it's we do not understand what you're up to and how you're about to bring about some marvelous and wonderful thing. But we praise you in advance that we can know that all good things, you love us with an everlasting love, and you've got us engraved upon the palms of your hands, and you're not ever going to send us into a situation that you don't equip us for, nor give us the resources to accomplish. Thank you, Lord, for who you are. Wake your church here in America, and I'm sure maybe worldwide, there are places that great revivals are going on, but we could use one too, Lord. So help us. Help us to stand for you. Proclaim the word boldly, bravely, courageously, but in love. For these things we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We're going to sing a song of invitation this morning. If you have something to make public, to make you come, this altar, this steps, there can be an altar. You come, let the Lord speak to you this morning as to what he will have you to do. Okay?
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. Then, O God, I come. As I am, they need not to make my soul a wonder clock to thee whose broken faith is found. Lamb of God, I come.
This road over here and get St. Joe Center, I think that little road, you just hit the mission field. You're on mission for the Lord. Brother Ron, would you close us?